You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
And good morning, everyone. How is everyone doing this wonderful Wednesday morning? Things are looking up out there. Looks like it's going to be a bright and sunny day, at least for us here in the Chicagoland area. So we're very happy to be here with you this morning. I just want to say to all of you that this is going to be our first show here on the WNDZ 750 AM radio station. And we're very excited to be here. My name is Juan Pablo Padilla. You can call me Pablo. It's easier. And I am a coordinator for the Office of Lifelong Formation of the Department of Vitality and Mission for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And our show is called The Lifelong Journey. And I just want to welcome also my guest host this morning, Patricia Malinowski. So, Patricia, welcome to the Lifelong Journey show on this new radio station that we're going to be doing wonderful things in and having great topics of discussion and just, you know, engaging people in lifelong formation in general. So, Patricia, why don't you introduce yourself to everyone and tell us what it is that you do over at the Office of Lifelong Formation.
Well, good morning, Pablo, and good morning to everyone on this beautiful frosty day. I am actually the senior coordinator for catechetical ministry at the Meyer Center Pastoral Center for the Archdiocese, and we work to support the initiatives of the Cardinal. And right now we're very busy with Renew My Church and the formation that has to do with Lifelong, which is the office that we are both in, and it has to do with making sure that individuals are really close to Jesus and know their faith and develop in their faith at all ages. You might say, well, how can an infant or a toddler even learn about Jesus Christ? Well, that those blessings and learning about God comes from the parents, whether it's those Christian lullabies, whether it's a blessing every night. Everyone is a model, and we're all called to witness for Christ. So that keeps us very busy. We have topics all along the way, from the confirmation policy to Adrian Badillo, who also is on our team, the catechetical team, who works with Hispanopastoral. And the Lord does keep us very busy. Right now, a number of our focus of our hours for the week is focused on the Chicago Faith Congress. It's our first one that we are going to be having. It's new. It used to be the Chicago Catechetical Conference, and we've changed to Congress, and also we've changed in the way that we are addressing a multitude. We're not just focusing on catechesis, even though anyone that shares the faith and spreads the word of God is actually a catechist. We're outreaching to marriage and family, to parents, to the areas of young adults, and youth ministry, as you know. So we are encompassing a broader outreach. Our arms are stretched to embrace the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago and beyond. So, and John Roberto, who is going to be with us today, has been in the area of faith formation, and he will also let us know for a very long time. He is an expert in this area. We're very happy to have him with us today.
And so I want to welcome also Mr. John Roberto. John Roberto, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, good morning. Nice to be here.
Good morning, John.
Excellent, and thank you for saying yes to being on with us this early here in the Chicagoland area. I know that you know, for most of the people that are probably commuting to work right now, this is a great time to actually, you know, hear some maybe something good around what is lifelong formation and what it is that it's all about. So, you know, I want to ask you, Patricia, if you can tell us a little bit more about John before we go ahead and get into the hardcore talk about lifelong formation.
Thank you, Pablo. John is on the Vibrant Faith Leadership Team, where he serves as the coordinator of training services. He's an author of a multitude of books. He's an educator. He's a role model for many of us. He's a leader, a champion in the lifelong faith formation area. And he's also been with the Center for Ministry Development, his past work. And he worked as in Catholic ministry and faith formation, I would say, for, John, you can correct me, I would say about, 40-some years?
Almost 50.
Almost 50. John, I had the privilege and the joy of being at your symposium recently, and that was outstanding. Do you want to share a little bit of information about that with us?
Well, we got a chance to take a look at faith formation with children and teenagers in the 21st century. So how do we do it in this new century with a whole new generation of young people? What are our approaches? What are our methods? So we had a chance for a couple of days to just explore what that might look like.
Excellent. Thank you very much. What advice do you have for people that are trying to embrace lifelong formation, that have perhaps had religious education programs and faith formation programs for years, and now are being asked to step out of the box as the way of practice and the way of thinking? What would you share with them as far as making that leap and that transition forward, John?
Well, first thing I would say, it's not easy. Catholics of my generation, which is a generation prior to Vatican II when we were born, we really grew up in a church in which, by and large, by the time you were a young teenager, you would have completed religious education. If you went to Catholic high school, you would have gone for four more years. But by the time of 18, by and large, the expectation was you'd learn the catechism. In my case, it was the Baltimore Catechism. But Vatican II changed all of that. Vatican II looked at faith and faith growth as a lifelong process, and that one never, ever has a point at which you become a disciple and then you kind of go on cruise control. Discipleship is a lifelong process of learning and growing and following Jesus and practicing your faith. And at every stage of life, there are new challenges to follow Jesus, new challenges to live as a Catholic. So Vatican II kind of reset that for us. And I think we've really spent the last 50 years trying to live into the reality that faith formation is for a lifetime. And that learning and growing and practicing your faith, there's no stopping point. So even though most parishes would, if you could say it, they specialize with children and teenagers, that most of the areas for growth in terms of parish faith formation are after 18. So when we're thinking about lifelong faith formation, we're really thinking about 10-decade faith formation. People are living into their 80s and 90s, and we need to think about how we do faith formation across all those stages, because every stage has particular life issues, has particular questions that faith needs to respond to. Faith evolves and emerges over a lifespan. And so that kind of view of faith emerging and maturing, that childhood and adolescence are kind of the building blocks to a lifelong faith, that reality is new for us. And we've talked about lifelong faith formation since the end of the Vatican Council in 1965. But closing the gap between vision and reality has been difficult. Most churches are staffed for children and adolescents. And that's foundational. I mean, we have to invest in children and adolescents. But they're really not staffed and aligned around. Faith growth continues after 18. In fact, now, for 70 years after 18, we're looking at people growing and maturing in faith. So that reality is really difficult. And so you'll have some churches that really embrace what I'll call 10-decade faith formation and really see their role as nurturing faith across each of the decades. But we've got to find a way to close the reality, the vision reality gap, so that every church is a 10-decade church. And that has been our biggest challenge, I think. We've got plenty of documents. We've got plenty of statements about the importance. We've got plenty of research that talks about faith maturing through the adult years. We've got to close the, this is what we know, and this is how we should act. And that's our big challenge.
And as you can hear, folks, our topic of the day is going to be lifelong formation. So I'm going to ask you guys to stay tuned, and we'll be right back shortly.
We
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
During the next half hour, we'll talk with Cardinal Blaise Cupich about his recent trip to hurricane-devastated Puerto Rico. We'll tell you about the new home for local Catholic radio in the Chicago area, and we'll review a few of the major events of 2017, from the Walk for Peace to Re-Encounter to the solar eclipse.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Chicago Catholic school families are receiving a present this Christmas season in the form of tax credit scholarships. Hi, I'm Dr. Jim Rigg, Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. The exciting news is that individuals and corporations that donate to tax credit scholarships will receive a 75% state tax credit while providing scholarship aid for students in need. Individual and corporate donors can reserve tax credits beginning January 2nd, but you need to take steps right now. Go to archchicago.org/TCS to guide you through the process. That site also shows you how to apply to receive scholarship money. You can also call 312-534-2617. Keep in mind, individuals can designate their donations to Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic Schools. The website, once again, archchicago.org/TCS, or call 312-534-2617. Thank you for helping families in our Catholic schools.
And welcome back, everyone out there, this wonderful morning to the Lifelong Journey Radio Show. That's the radio show for the Office of Lifelong Formation of the Department of Vitality and Mission for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And this wonderful morning, my guest host, Patricia Malinowski, is here. And we have a very special guest today, Mr. John Roberto, who will be a keynote speaker at our Chicago Faith Congress coming up this February 10th. And John, real quick, as you were talking about, you know, the shift into thinking into lifelong formation versus our traditional catechetical programs and how we viewed sharing the faith, I just wanted to ask a question briefly, because one of the things that I realized when I was volunteering, in teaching really confirmation to adolescents, and I volunteered at quite a few parishes. I think at one point I ended up, like, during my time, I volunteered at 10 different parishes, and you know, interesting, because the number 10 resonated with me when you were talking about the 10-decade model. And I was wondering, because it's so true what you're saying. I remember that one of the biggest struggles that we had in terms of, you know, when we were in conversations and meetings with the DREs and the CREs, the catechetical, the teachers that basically, you know, share the faith in what maybe some people may call Sunday school, ours was really like other Mondays or Wednesdays, was the concern that after confirmation, adolescents normally would think of it as a graduation and would probably just go ahead and be about their way. And, you know, a lot of the concern was about them returning probably until they were getting married. So any thoughts behind that, John, in terms of why people or why it's so important for us to see lifelong formation in this way, in light of the fact that it can be a solution to the I guess, really the problem of us having to wonder, you know, how do we get our children to not see confirmation as a graduation, but as actually the actual initiation of the faith, a big step in the initiation of our faith journey?
I think there's multiple levels to this. I think the first level is we don't design children and adolescent programs as if they were the first and second decade of a 10-decade approach. We essentially have this, and this is just historical, but we haven't broken out of it, that we basically design children and adolescent programming as all you will ever need. So we think about a lot of confirmation programs. they are really kind of a thorough review of your understanding of the Catholic faith. They've got some retreats and service, you know, tossed into that, which is great. It's part of the mix of forming faith. But so many confirmation programs are a review of essentially the catechism's teachings, just to make sure that you get that before you graduate. So there is kind of an expectation that for about 10 years of your life, from grade one through whenever confirmation is, that you will get the sufficient content of the faith that will last a lifetime. Now, we all know that's not possible. Developmentally, it's not possible. In terms of life issues and questions, it's not possible, because the things that arise in adulthood that faith can respond to are just a whole set of different challenges in adulthood in terms of how the gospel and our tradition responds to that. So, but we've set that up with an implicit expectation that they are going to leave after confirmation. And so we make sure that we do a 2-year confirmation program, a 3-year confirmation program, which only exacerbates the problem. If we started designing the first 2 decades of life in a 10-decade curriculum and thought about how do I do faith formation for 10 decades, and now what's appropriate in the first decade of life, what's appropriate in the second decade of life, and confirmation's a moment in faith formation. It isn't the goal of faith formation. When we think about the amount of effort we put into confirmation and the little effort we put into baptism preparation and marriage preparation in terms of the extensiveness of both of those, you see how it's out of proportion. So when I'm working with churches, I'm saying, before you talk about children and youth, talk about what you want to see as the outcome, towards what ends are we working. And we're working towards the ends of maturity in faith. Maturity in faith is an adult phenomena. And so we are maturing in faith in each decade. So what do we want to accomplish in the first decade of life towards this goal of faith maturity? What do we want to accomplish in the second decade of life towards faith maturity? We know in the education world you can't teach everything in the first 2 decades of life. People go on to school, graduate school, certificate programs, continuing education, etc. So we've become a society of lifelong learners, realizing that learning never stops, whether it's personal or professional. But somehow in the church, that hasn't seeped into the way we think about the first 2 decades of life. And if we really were consistent with this, we would do a whole lot more with the first 5 years of life, from 0 to 5, and not wait till first grade, in terms of foundational experiences with parents and children. So I really am an advocate for thinking lifelong, acting lifelong, and then asking the appropriate questions. What do we want to see happen in the first decade of life with children, young and older, and their parents? The second decade of life with adolescents and their families? The third decade of life and on through? And if we started thinking that way, playing that way, and acting that way, we would really set the marker that faith matures in each decade. Faith is experienced and expressed and practiced uniquely in each decade. But our goal is faith maturity, which is what culminates in older adulthood. We also have to think, and just on this lifelong point, we have to think much more intergenerationally. Our teenagers need to meet the 80 and 90-year-old faith mentors in our parishes who have journeyed for 8 or 9 decades with Christ as a member of the community, living and practicing their faith. They need to see how faith matures over those decades. So we need a lot more intergenerational contact between children and teens and all the other decades of life. The beauty of it is we have a parish community of all those decades. And we need to do more to build intergenerational relationships, faith sharing, storytelling, and, of course, programming that brings the generations together to share their stories, to share their faith. But if you don't think lifelong and you don't plan lifelong, we're going to continue to get the same results with people leaving at the end of First Eucharist, people leaving at the end of confirmation, because they don't see the whole lifelong journey.
Okay, thank you very much, John. That was a wonderful response to that. And for any of you out there that are actually right now doing catechesis or are in any role of sharing the faith, I really want to invite you to really pay attention to what is being said here, because we're talking about something much larger that is really lifelong, and it truly is for the rest of our lives. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with more on Lifelong Journey.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
8,000 young adults show up for a major conference in Chicago to get the tools they need to evangelize. This is our annual Catholic Schools issue, and we'll look at some of the exciting things going on in Catholic education. We'll hear what Cardinal Supich had to say in his Migration Mass homily, and Bishop Barron reviews the movie Lady Bird.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
The Word Made Clear is exactly what its name implies. It's an easy-to-understand explanation of the Word of God, the Gospel. Hello, I'm Father James McElhone, Director of Biblical Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'd like to invite you to take our free online Bible study program by going to thewordmadeclear.org. Our website offers an audio-based guide to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Listen to my lectures and follow along with the handouts provided. There are even discussion guides. You can also explore the biblical roots of the Mass. And there are links to a wide variety of biblical sources that will benefit both teachers and students of the Sacred Scriptures. Just go to wordmadeclear.org to experience our free online Bible study program. Again, it's free at wordmadeclear.org. It's the Word of God. Enjoy.
Welcome back, everyone. So those of you that are listening to us for the very first time, this is the Lifelong Journey radio show, the radio show for the Office of Lifelong Formation of the Department of Parish Vitality and Mission for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And just as we were cutting off into break, Patricia, you had mentioned something about something that John had brought up, and that was the intergenerational. So I'm going to ask you, maybe would you like to maybe ask John some questions around that and maybe deepen a little bit further that discussion?
Sure, Pablo, thank you. John, we know that that's the way to go. When we go to the movie theaters and when we go to sports, when we gather at church in the Mass, it's everybody. It's collective. We know the value of the community. But yet, for some reason, with faith formation, we're really struggling to make that change, to make a fuller embrace. So what would you say are the trends or ways that parishes can, you know, broaden their scope of consciousness so they're more aware and more in tuned? Right now we have a tendency to say that, you know, this certain group is meeting, or youth ministry is meeting, or young adults are meeting, and we're just perpetuating a divide over and over again. So we've got to reverse that, John. So if you could speak to that, we sure would appreciate it.
Sure. I would encourage parishes to look at faith formation through these three lenses: intergenerational, family, and then peer or age group. And right now in most churches, age group or peer group faith formation is overrepresented. So a lot of our children go through grade one all the way through to confirmation, and they really are only in a peer setting. So we need to balance that, and maybe even reduce some of that, but at least balance that with attention to the family, which is the primary faith community. We have all kinds of new research over the last decade and a half, the power of the family in faith formation or not, meaning the family has the power to socialize and pass on faith and transmit faith through its practices, its language, its talk, discussion at home, that passing on faith happens primarily at home, supported by the parish community. So faith is either passed on at home, experienced at home, lived at home, snap. And so we need to attend to the family context. And then the third is the intergenerational context. These three have to work in sync. So when you have too much peer or too much peer or age group programming, what tends to happen is children don't get a chance to meet the rest of the community. Parents and children are not formed at home, which is where the quantity of time is in terms of passing on a faith tradition. So we're not equipping parents, empowering parents. We're not resourcing families in terms of what they could be doing at home. But if you can get a balance between intergenerational experiences and relationships, at-home family family experiences, and then peer age group experiences, you begin to get a better flow of faith formation. Children and teenagers need families of faith that support and encourage their faith practice, and parents who are willing to share their faith, value their faith, be a gatekeeper and a sponsor for them in terms of their faith. But they desperately need, parents and children and teenagers alike, intergenerational relationships with the rest of the community. It's in the intergenerational relationships that provide that broader support, encouragement, structure around faith. We know from research over the last 40-plus years that children and teenagers grow in faith much more fruitfully, much more in a much more enriched way when they have five or more significant adult relationships in the faith community, beyond mom and dad, beyond grandma and grandpa, that they are known and they're connected. So I've been part of a number of research studies that have really looked at the intergenerational character of a community and how welcoming it is for children and teenagers and their families, and how inclusive it is so that the whole family feels strengthened by the relationships they have at church. Every church can balance these three, but we have to come to kind of accept or come to trust the vision that all three of these environments, intergenerational, family, and peer or age group, are faith-forming environments, but they need to be in balance. That's the big shift that we need to make in church life. And we can start slowly. A couple of intergenerational experiences through the year woven into peer or age group settings begins to balance this model out. More attention to the home, resourcing the home, equipping and empowering parents by delivering things to the home. We have the technologies to do that, to equip them at home. The more that happens, the more we rely on the home, then we strengthen that aspect. But we need all three of these faith-forming environments, intergenerational, family, and peer or age group. And we can do this.
And John, you know, right now that you were, you know, talking about the importance of us catching on into the doing the lifelong formation, and the importance, the real importance of it, really in terms of the intergenerational piece, I was just thinking, it occurs to me that if I'm a catechist and or a DRE at a parish, and I'm listening to this and I'm on fire about what's going on, and I really really, you know, get the gist of it, and I really want to like make sure that this is something that happens in my parish. But I feel like maybe that I am too late in the game, or I may not be ready to start, or I may not know how to start. Into especially when I'm thinking about how do I begin to engage in an intergenerational, you know, process. But more important than that, I think that for me it would be, you know, if I were in those person's shoes, I'd be wondering, where do I start? I mean, do I start with the young adults? Do I start with the older adults? Do I just invite everyone to a big meeting? And I mean, it doesn't matter if they're senior citizens. I mean, I guess these are a lot of the questions because we're so compartmentalized by age nowadays that, I'm wondering, you know, if someone just, where do we start? Where do we take off? I mean, where exactly is the starting point? So, you know, when we come back from break, if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to ask you to just follow up on that question. So everyone stay tuned, and we'll be right back and here for the Lifelong Journey Show for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Stay tuned.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
As we celebrate our 100th anniversary, I want to offer a special thank you to the Good Samaritans who support Catholic Charities. I'm Monsignor Mike Boland. We feed, clothe, shelter, and give job counseling to nearly 1 million people each year. Homeless veterans, the elderly, youth, pregnant women, and now grieving survivors of children shot and killed in the streets of Chicago all count on Catholic Charities. See how you can help at CatholicCharities.net. You may be of another faith or no faith, but you have faith in us. Thank you.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
And welcome back, everyone, this wonderful morning. If you're just joining us, this is the A Lifelong Journey radio show for the Archdiocese of Chicago's Department of Parish Vitality and Mission. And we are here today on our very first show here at 7:50 a.m. WNDZ. We're going to be on from Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. So please continue to listen to us. We have a lot of valuable information regarding the our faith formation, the Catholic faith, and truly what it is to be a Christian. So please, we always invite you to continue to join us in listening to our show, but also invite friends of yours and family members that might be interested as well. And here today, we were speaking to Mr. John Roberto from the Talbot School of Theology, who's also going to be our keynote speaker at our February 10th Chicago Faith Congress that's going to take place in the Loyola North Shore campus. So you're all invited. All of our listeners are invited. And joining us today, this morning, someone who just has been a wonderful co-host of mine, Mr. Victor Vallejo. Victor, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, John Roberto. It's good to have you here.
Good morning.
And our guest host, Patricia Malinowski of the catechetical team for the Office of Lifelong Formation, was kind enough to bring together this wonderful interview with Mr. John Roberto. And we've been talking about lifelong formation and moving and seeing how we can move from a traditional model of just whatever it is that comes to mind when you think of Sunday school into something that's much more lifelong, that actually takes us through our entire life. We were talking about the 10-decade formation process, and that's it really starts when we're children, but it can go on until, you know, whenever God calls us to his home. And right before the break, I was asking John a very important question about, if I'm a DRE or a CRE or just someone who's interested in this, how can I start? I mean, there has to be a starting point. I mean, clearly, I don't think I want to start with the children for sure, but I also want to start with my senior citizens. So, John, what advice would you give us in terms of starting something that's going to be lifelong?
So let's think about these three environments: intergenerational, family, and then peer or age group. What we want to do is become more intentional about the intergenerational relationships and experiences everybody has at church. So I often talk about a parish as implicitly intergenerational. What I mean is there's all kinds of intergenerational things that happen on Sunday morning, events during the year that are all the generations come to. So that those are kind of things that happen, but we're not intentional about fostering intergenerational relationships or experiences through those events. So if you think about intergenerational and bring the generations together, think of it as kind of a continuum. Small steps that lead to becoming a much more intentional and having a much more integrated plan for bringing the generations together. So if you just start with very small steps, I'll give you a couple of examples. The Advent Christmas season and the Lent Easter season are great opportunities to bring the generations together in preparation for and celebration of the seasons of the year. So Lent is coming, so we'll use Lent as an example. I've worked with lots of churches that have done like an intergenerational Lenten festival or festivals, depending on the number of people, in which the generations come together for a corporate experience, prayer, learning, both together and in age groups, creating something for their Lenten experience, maybe creating a Lenten calendar together, et cetera, et cetera. But they get a chance to be in the same room at the same time, doing something intentional, sharing faith stories, remembering what Lent is about, creating something, talking to each other, teaching each other, and for an hour and a half, 2 hours of praying and learning and celebrating and maybe eating a meal, a simple meal, think about the possibilities of the generations coming together. A parish is doing, you know, Lenten simple meals on Friday, maybe followed by the Stations of the Cross. This can be an intergenerational experience if we just bring some intentionality to it. So the ways in which we help people sit at tables, the way we have a focusing question for them, the way in which we have a common prayer, the way in which they get a chance to share some faith stories about this Sunday in Lent, the ways in which we do Stations of the Cross where we might highlight one generation at the stations, leading, praying, working with the whole congregation as experiences the Stations of the Cross, and every week lifting up a different generation. So it's bringing this intentional focus to church life to say fostering intergenerational relationships is really, really important for the faith growth of everybody, not just the kids and the teenagers. But children and teens need intergenerational experiences, but so do the older generations to be connected. Simple things. A lot of churches do an experience which I call App Sunday, APP. And essentially, it's an experience that you do right after Christmas because, you know, the older generations, grandparent generation gets a lot of technology at Christmas time. Maybe a new phone, maybe a tablet, that kind of thing. The people who are best able to mentor them and teach them are basically middle school and high school kids. So I've watched churches take a Sunday worship experience to bring the generation together to say, bring your device to church. We've got experts in our midst who are going to help you use and download these apps and learn how to use this. And so the younger mentoring the older. Well, what happens in that relationship is, of course, stories are going to be shared. People are going to learn from each other. Every older member of the community is now going to have someone they can contact if they get stuck. But now these teenagers, middle school and high school, have met older members of the community and started building a relationship. It's just bringing an intentionality to what we do. If you see this as a continuum, these intergenerational relationships and experiences can grow into regular intergenerational learning experiences, intergenerational service and mission trips. One of the fastest growing programs that an organization called Road Scholar, which used to be Elder Hostel, which does week-long programs for older adults, 60-plus. Their fastest-growing program is grandparents with their grandchildren, 10 and over, doing these week-long trips around the world, both in the States and around the world. That's their fastest-growing program. So thinking about these intergenerational relationships, programming, I work with camp directors and camp programs. I talk a lot about do an intergenerational camp. Have grandparents bring their grandchildren. You got kind of baked-in adult presence. You got these relationships, and grandparents have the money to bring their kids to camp, unlike moms and dads who have no money and time. And not only you're fostering the within the family intergenerational relationship, but you're also fostering intergenerationships across the whole camp program. Those are the things we need to be very, much more attentive to. Taking our children or teen program and splicing into it intergenerational events, experiences, and programs where the children get in touch with other generations as part of their 24, 30 weeks a year, or as part of their confirmation program, as part of their first Eucharist program. I think these are essential because those relationship building paves the way to think about faith formation across the whole lifespan.
And on that note, we're going to go ahead and take a break, but please stay tuned. We are not yet finished with this wonderful conversation. Thank you, John. That was a great answer. And everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
During the next half hour, we'll talk with Cardinal Blaise Cupich about his recent trip to hurricane-devastated Puerto Rico. We'll tell you about the new home for local Catholic radio in the Chicago area, and we'll review a few of the major events of 2017. From the Walk for Peace to Re-Encounter to the Solar Eclipse.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
The hurricanes of 2017 dealt a devastating blow to poor communities across the U.S. People there reached out to the church for help and found it. Faith communities rallied to provide assistance to those in need, and we helped too. We are Catholic Extension. We're helping rebuild churches and schools, and we're supporting communities in areas destroyed by the hurricanes. Funds are desperately needed. To donate, go to catholicextension.org/hurricane relief or call 888-473-2484.
Pope Francis calls us to dream big and challenge one another to proclaim the good news. To help answer that challenge, you're invited to participate in the 2018 Chicago Faith Congress, Reignite the Journey. This one-day event, tailored for all who answer the call of the Catechist, takes place Saturday, February 10th at Loyola University's Lakeshore campus. Go to pvm.archchicago.org to learn more about the Chicago Faith Congress. That's pvm.archchicago.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Lifelong Journey Radio Show this wonderful Wednesday morning, at least here in the Chicago area. But if you're listening to us from one of, our other neighboring cities, we really hope that you're also having a great, wonderful morning as well. Patricia, we were having a wonderful conversation, during the break. And in returning, I know that, you know, Victor had also mentioned a few things around the Chicago Faith Congress and John coming around for that. So would you like to maybe get into that a little bit?
Sure. Thanks, Pablo. John, thank you for taking us through that paradigm shift. What we're trying to do is change patterns of behavior, change patterns of intentionality, and those are truly concrete steps and guides for everyone. As Pablo mentioned, we're very excited about having the Chicago Faith Congress, the first one on February 10th. And we are extremely elated, John, that you are going to be a guest with us and be a theme presenter and that you'll be following up with a workshop. Now, the outcomes of this is a multitude. One is to support the Renew My Church initiative to help parishes to make the paradigm shift with us, to change models and to initiate groundbreaking advancement that's going to enhance discipleship, bring us all closer to Jesus, and help us to grow together as a faith community. John, would you share with us what we can expect as far as your presentation from the being a theme presenter and also for those that are coming to your workshop?
I think my focus is that people know lifelong faith formation is our goal, growing in faith and discipleship across our lifespan. Everyone knows that in vision and in principle. The question in 2018 is, how do you do it? How do you make that real? Given the reality of parish life, staffing, et cetera. And so I think one of the things I want to point to people is that we do have these three faith-forming environments, intergenerational, family, peer, and age group, and we need to think about that across the lifespan. But we need to bring a very practical focus to that to say it's not realistic to think that parishes are going to hire 24 new staff people to be able to cover the whole lifespan. I mean, that's just not going to happen. But we're blessed by the fact that we have some new models, approaches, and technologies which allow us to engage and reach people in ways that weren't available 10 years ago. So one of the things I want to focus on is digital media, digital tools, digital technologies give us a way to do faith formation off the church campus, in people's homes, in people's daily lives, across the whole lifespan. We're blessed with great, great digital media, Christian media, Catholic media, in terms of programs, videos, podcasts, etc., radio shows like this, that we need to align and focus in terms of developing lifelong faith formation. We have the technologies that enable us to reach and engage people wherever they go. And this is one of those revolutions, literally, where everybody has the gadgets, the gizmos, the technology, and the question is, how do we align ourselves to bring faith formation to where people are? We've been through an era, the last 500 years, literally, in which faith formation happened at church. We're now moving to a blended model in which faith formation happens at church, at school, but it also happens in people's daily lives and at home. And we have the tools and technology and the content, the media, to be able to engage people where they are. So one of the ways to get to lifelong faith formation is begin to think, how do I reach and engage people at every stage of life with great content and great experiences, some of which are at church, some of which are at home, some of which are out in the world in daily life, and that's all connected by digital tools, digital media, digital technology. Simple things like building a robust church faith formation website that is formative of people, that it's open 24/7, 365, using the tools that we have in social media to connect with people and to reach people. Everything we do at church is connectable. So the ability to take Sunday worship, Sunday Mass, and say, we can help you live this all week long because we now have apps, our digital content on our website, resource centers, podcasts that can help you grow more deeply in the message of Sunday. I worked with one church where the pastor did a weekly podcast of his sermon. So it wasn't like he recorded his homily. Rather, he went and created a version of it for a podcast. In this community, people commuted back and forth to work a lot. And after a couple of months, people said, you know, Pastor, we really love the podcast on Monday, but what do you have for us on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? And so it got the whole church to say, how do we resource you with podcasts created by other people that have great content that you can connect to as you commute back and forth to work? Well, think about, you know, half hour each way, half hour podcast, 5 days a week. I mean, you're talking about 5 hours of faith formation. That's more adult faith formation than many people get in a whole year. And they're getting in 1 week by commuting back and forth to work. That's the technology has allowed us to say, we can engage you in faith formation wherever you go. I think it's a game changer. And the content's being created by Catholic publishers, Catholic organizations, Catholic individuals, Catholic churches, is just remarkable in its quality, high-quality content that we can now use to connect with people. I often give the example of the explosion of content and reminding people that TED Talks, you know, which we're all familiar with, didn't start out with even recording the original TED Talks way back 30 years ago. And once they started recording it, now they have an enormous library of content, playlists of that content organized by themes that people use and watch. I mean, some of these TED Talks are viewed by 15 or 20 million people. that the resources, the technology, the tools are available to us, we can get to lifelong faith formation by blending these approaches of the technologically, digital media-driven, the at-church, the in daily life, at home. We have to think bigger, and we have to use all the resources God's giving us, and technology is one of those resources. And it'll allow us to do faith formation, and I think, in all kinds of new ways. I gave a talk last week, and I said to the group, we are in a renaissance of faith formation and learning in the church, if we're willing to seize that moment that we've got. We're at the beginning of a process in which we can reshape the way we do faith formation so that it literally surrounds people wherever they go. And that process of learning and faith growth and discipleship can go for a lifetime. So that's the way I want to help churches rethink how you do lifelong faith formation, because I think if they come in thinking, I've got to do more programming at church, they're going to bog down. If they think about this multi-environment faith formation, if you think about how to use intergenerational family and age group settings and how to use the new digital media and tools, it could be a renaissance in faith formation in the Catholic Church.
And on that thought, thank you, John. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back to wrap up our wonderful conversation this morning.
Chicago Catholic school families are receiving a present this Christmas season in the form of tax credit scholarships. Hi, I'm Dr. Jim Rigg, Superintendent of Catholic Schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. The exciting news is that individuals and corporations that donate to tax credit scholarships will receive a 75% state tax credit while providing scholarship aid for students in need. Individual and corporate donors can reserve tax credits beginning January 2nd, but you need to take steps right now. Go to archchicago.org/TCS to guide you through the process. That site also shows you how to apply to receive scholarship money. You can also call 312-534-2617. Keep in mind, individuals can designate their donations to Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic Schools. The website, once again, archchicago.org/TCS, or call 312-534-2617. Thank you for helping families in our Catholic schools.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
8,000 young adults show up for a major conference in Chicago to get the tools they need to evangelize. This is our annual Catholic Schools issue, and we'll look at some of the exciting things going on in Catholic education. We'll hear what Cardinal Supich had to say in his Migration Mass homily, and Bishop Barron reviews the movie Lady Bird.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Lifelong Journey Radio Show. We've been blessed this morning to have on a wonderful guest, Mr. John Roberto from the Talbot School of Theology, who's also going to be a keynote speaker over at our Chicago Faith Congress coming up this February 10th, 2018, at the Loyola University North Shore campus. And you can still go ahead and register. Just visit our website at www.archchicago.org. That's archchicago.org. And you can come there and, you know, enjoy Mr. John Roberto's keynote address, but also his workshops and several other speakers that are going to be coming as well. So we look forward to seeing you there. So, John, real quick, as we're coming to a closing in this wonderful conversation, and really in many ways, I think it was very formative as well for us to learn about the importance of lifelong formation. Are there any last thoughts that you'd like to share to our listening audience out there that, you know, maybe you felt like you needed to get out there, but probably didn't because of the other wonderful, you know, topics that we were touching on?
No, what I like to be is encouraging to churches and their leaders and to people in leadership teams to say, every church can realize this. I think a lot of times when I do workshops and programs, people say, I'm too small, we don't have enough money, we're too big or whatever, we have enough staff. I think lifelong faith formation could be a reality in every parish. There's no one model. Every church will do this based on who they are as church, their unique culture, their unique identity. But the goal of promoting lifelong faith and discipleship is a goal that every church can achieve. And that's the message I want to share in February. But that's the message I want people to take away, that my growth as an individual Catholic for a lifetime, our growth as a family, our growth as a faith community, nurturing lifelong faith growth is possible in every single Catholic parish.
Thank you, John. We're so happy that you've been with us this morning and have enlightened us in so many ways. John, you are an exceptional resource. For our listeners that aren't familiar with you or quite where to go, what would you give as a resource, as a website or other reference?
Sure. If they want to, my website is just simply lifelongfaith.com, and they'll see a lot of resources and materials. I've done a journal with all the journal issues are available online for free. So I would just say stop by lifelongfaith.com, and you'll check out the work that I do.
Excellent. Thank you, John.
And I would just want to thank you again, John. Thank you so much for coming on. And I think this is all, you know, in motion to doing a wonderful event that's, you know, called, we're theming it Reignite the Journey for the Chicago Faith Congress this coming February 10th, 2018. Again, if you go ahead and Google Chicago Faith Congress, it should take you directly. The very first option should take you directly to where all the information is and where the registration is also at. So once again, thank you, John, for coming on. It was a pleasure having you. And I just want to wish you a great and wonderful day. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks.
All right. Take care of yourself, John. And as we move forward, we also have several other things coming up. We have on January 28th, that's a Sunday, we have an off-the-wall art in action, young adult wine conference. So we want to invite you to that. That's going to take place at the Art in the Square at 2314 West Leland, Chicago, Illinois, 60625. So we also have the Lenten retreat coming up on February 5th and 6th at the Catholic Charities Building on LaSalle with Father Bob Lombardo and Sister Kate. They're going to be sharing a wonderful topic to us about, you know, who is Jesus, for those of us that don't know and would like to know who is Jesus, and also the importance of, you know, love in relationships in light of, you know, love of Christ. So please join us for February 10th at the Chicago Faith Congress, and please register online today. And we look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much, Victor. Thank you so much, Patricia, for coming on. And I want to wish all of you a wonderful rest of your Wednesday and week. God bless.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.